God's transforming work is unfinished. It's unfinished in you, in us as a church, and through us as a church. I'm confident that He wants it to be carried on to completion. I'm confident He wants to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. And I'm confident He will if we all trust Him, surrender all of ourselves into His hands, and sacrificially follow Jesus together. Well, do you have any financial regrets? Like, if you do, and most of us do, chances are it's tied to either something that you bought or something that you invested in. One of my biggest financial regrets actually happened when I was a senior in high school. My friend's dad was selling his 64 and a half Mustang, and the half year 64 was the first year they made the Ford Mustang. This car was sweet. I wanted it. My parents and every older person in my life told me, do not buy that. That's the dumbest thing in the world. But I made my own money, and so my parents couldn't stop me from buying it, nor could anyone else. And so I did buy it, and every penny that I had went to buy this awesome 64 and a half Mustang. And I was so excited. I was so jacked up. And it quickly turned to regret. Let me tell you why. Because when I bought the car, it was about 400 miles away. This is when I lived in Lincoln in high school. I drove the car 400 miles back to Lincoln. And this is, I'm not even exaggerating the story. The second that my front tires hit the driveway, the engine blew. So the engine blew on this car I just bought, spent all my money on, and so I had to borrow money in order to get the engine rebuilt. I got the car back. I'm so pumped about it. You know, if you lived in Lincoln during that time, you know, I'm going to cruise O Street in this car. It was just going to be so awesome. And then 3 months later, because the guy who rebuilt my motor did it wrong, the engine blew again. I could not afford to rebuild the motor again because I absolutely could not afford it. So I had to sell that car basically for almost nothing. And then for graduation, the only thing I asked for was for money, so that I could pay off this car. And so for every penny that I got from high school graduation went to pay for a car that I no longer owned. Big financial regret. And most of us have financial regrets. Unfortunately, most of us have never stopped and assessed, why did I choose to do what I did that led to that financial regret? Every day, all of us are making financial decisions that can one day lead to regret. However, I believe there's one you'll never regret making. Not now, not 5 years from now, not at the end of your life. And that one financial decision is choosing to give generously to who and what God cares about. And today, we're going to discover why. But before we do, let's review what we've talked about over the past few weeks. Last December, we stepped into the largest thing we've ever done as a church called Unfinished. The reason we launched Unfinished, this 2 year season called Unfinished, is because I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished. I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished in you and in me. I'm confident God's transforming work is unfinished in us as a church. I'm also confident transformation doesn't happen by accident, that we must be positioned for it. And according to the writers of Scripture, according to Jesus, one of the ways we position ourselves for it is through our generosity. A powerful principle that we see emerge through the pages of Scripture is that generosity generates transformation. God uses our generosity to generate transformation in us individually, in our church, and through our church in a way, well, that just doesn't happen in any other way. Now, if you're new around here, Unfinished is a 2 year generosity initiative to help carry on to completion God's unfinished transforming work in you and in us as a church, in Relevant. We've set a 2 year unfinished generosity goal of $20.3 million to help carry on to completion, first, our unfinished mission of helping transform people into everything God's created us to be, second, our unfinished vision for the Relevance Center, and third, the unfinished impact that Jesus has called us to in our community and around the world. On your chair when you came in was one of these books, if you haven't seen this yet, and this all explains the vision of Unfinished, why we're doing it, and how every dollar is used to help carry on this unfinished mission that God has called us on. If you're watching us online, you can access this book digitally online as well. Well, today is a big day. Today is the midpoint of Unfinished. Today is Midpoint Commitment Sunday. And today, we all have the opportunity to step out in faith and either make, reaffirm, or increase our unfinished generosity commitments on one of these cards. Now, if this is your first time with us, listen, we obviously don't expect you to do that. We don't want anything from you. You don't need to feel any pressure to do anything today. However, let me say, you picked a great day to be here because today you're going to witness an incredible act, an incredible move of God as many, many of us take some of the biggest steps of faith to follow Jesus we've ever taken. Now, please don't miss what I say next if you're new, because this is so vitally important. Our two-year unfinished generosity goal of $20.3 million, it's a God-sized goal for sure. However, it's not our primary goal. Our primary goal for unfinished is 100% engagement. And that's why the only thing I've asked, the only thing I've asked everyone who says that Relevant is my church to do is to go before God and ask Him, not ask me, ask Him, God, what would you have me do in regard to my generosity? And then would you ever, whatever you believe He's leading you to do, whatever you believe He's prompting and stirring and giving you the sense of ought to that you ought to do, that you step out in faith and sacrificially follow Jesus. Not because I want something from you, I do not. But because what I want for you and for me and for our church more than anything is to be transformed into everything God's created us to be. And God uses generosity to generate transformation. As we've been approaching the midpoint of Unfinished, we've been in a four-week series called Immeasurably More. And throughout this series, we've been talking about something that might be brand new to some of you. We've been talking about this phrase called how to be rich toward God. And the reason we've been talking about how to be rich toward God is because over the last few weeks, we've discovered that God does immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward Him. God wants to show us His glory in immeasurably more ways than we can ask or imagine. God wants to reveal Himself. God wants us to experience His power and presence. God wants to transform us in everything He's created us to be. God wants to carry on to completion His unfinished transforming work in you and me and us as a church in immeasurably more ways than we can ask or imagine. Well, God does immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward Him. And according to Jesus, according to the writers of Scripture, one of the ways that we be rich toward God involves what we do with the money that God has entrusted us with. The New Testament book of 1 Timothy is actually a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a pastor named Timothy, instructing him on how to lead and teach the people in his church to follow Jesus. And starting in verse 17 of chapter 6, to end the letter, Paul gave four lessons for how to be rich toward God. And throughout this series, we've been unpacking each of these four lessons, and so far, we've looked at the first three. Here's what Paul instructed. Command those, meaning this is not a suggestion for followers of Christ, for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus by asking Him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. Paul's saying, command followers of Christ who are rich in this present world. And listen, probably the most important thing that we've discovered over the last few weeks is that Paul right here is addressing most of us, because rich is not defined by a level of income. Rich is defined by having more than you need, which means if you have more than you need, you're rich. Most of us do not have everything we want, but if we're being honest, we have way more clothes, shoes, house, food, closets, pets, Starbucks, junk in the attic than we need. Most of us don't feel rich because we're not as wealthy as we'd like to be. But in reality, most of us have crossed the line from not rich to rich because we have more than we need. The first lesson to be rich toward God is admit you're rich. Listen, most of us need to admit we're rich, because until we do, our hearts will never be open to be rich toward God. And remember, God does immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward Him. I'm rich. Congratulations. Most of you are rich too. So admit it. Paul says, command followers of Christ who are rich in this present world, and here's a second lesson, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything, not only that we need, but also for our enjoyment. The second lesson for how to be rich toward God is to transfer your trust from your riches to the one who richly provides. Paul said, listen, if you have more than you need, good, enjoy it. But don't put your trust in money for your future and hope and peace and fulfillment and joy and security. Instead, transfer your trust to the one who provided you with more than you needed to begin with, to the one who richly provides us with everything we need. And then in Paul's third lesson, he tells us how to transfer our trust from our riches to the one who richly provides. Command them, followers of Christ who have more than they need, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. The third lesson for how to be rich toward God that we unpacked last week is to give God your first and your best. Paul's saying, hey, in terms of time, give God your first and your best by sacrificially serving others. In terms of money, generously give God your first and your best. That's how to be rich toward God, because it's one of the primary ways that we prove our trust in God, grow our trust in God, and transfer our trust from our riches to the one who richly provides. As we land the plane on this series, here's Paul's final lesson. In this way, and that phrase hangs on the command in the prior sentence, to be rich in good deeds and generous and willing to share. In this way, they, me, you, will lay up, will store, will accumulate treasure for themselves. Paul's saying, when we transfer our trust from our riches to the one who richly provides by generously giving God our first and our best, in this way, we accomplish something for ourselves. We store up treasure for ourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul says, hey, the treasure we store up for ourselves by generously giving God our first and our best is not more for me. The treasure is taking hold of true life, true joy, true purpose, true peace, true fulfillment, true contentment, true hope, true security in this life and in the life to come. Now, this may be new to some of you, a whole new concept to some of you. But according to Jesus, and I always say, that any guy who can predict his own death and resurrection and pull it off, I kind of just go with whatever that guy says. According to Jesus, there is a direct relationship between your generosity and the life you experience now. Not where you live, but what your life is like as you live it. And there is a direct relationship between your generosity and your eternity. Not where you spend it, but what it will be like when you get there. Here's the fourth lesson for how to be rich toward God. Steward everything you have in light of eternity. Paul's saying, steward everything, every dollar, every resource, every opportunity that God has entrusted you with, that God has given you. And don't be so arrogant to think he's not the one who provided it. Steward everything God has entrusted to you in light of eternity, because that's how you take hold of the immeasurably more transformation, the immeasurably more life that God wants for you in this life and in the one to come. Now, Paul wasn't coming up with something new when he wrote this. He was dipping into a massive volume of Jesus' teaching about money. And these teachings, they were so foundational. These teachings were so repeated that anyone who knew Jesus' words would have immediately recognized what Paul was alluding to. And one of the clearest examples is found in the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 12. Now, as I quickly read this, pay attention to how what Jesus said directly shaped what Paul instructed. It starts in verse 15. Then he, Jesus, said to them, "Watch out," which means this is important. "Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." And greed is the assumption that everything I have is for my consumption first. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life, he could have said hope, he could have said peace, he could have said joy, he could have said fulfillment, he could have said security. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions, in an abundance of more. For me. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man, that's us, yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." He had more crops than he needed. He didn't know what to do with all of it. Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I've got a plan. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink,
and be married. This man's going, I'm golden. I have enough to last me for the rest of my long, long, long life. And it's going to be a great long life and a joy-filled long life and a peaceful long life and a fulfilling long life and a secure long life because I have so much for me.
Don't miss the next two words. But God. But God. But the God who provided, entrusted, and gave this man more than he needed said, you fool. And God didn't call him a fool for saving, for investing, or for being fiscally responsible. God called him a fool because his decisions were driven by greed. He was putting himself first, storing up for himself first, prioritizing himself as first. God called him a fool because he forgot, but God. God called him a fool because he forgot God is ultimately the one who owns it all. God called him a fool because he thought, more for me is how I take hold of life that's truly life. God said, you fool. God called him a fool because he was living for this life alone by not stewarding everything he had in light of eternity. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? God's going, you didn't have control over the sun. You didn't have control over the rain that were necessary for those crops to grow to begin with. And you definitely don't have control with over how long you live. And now you're faced with the reality that tonight, well, tonight's your last night. And do you know who's going to get everything you stored up for yourself? You know, your barns and your money and your assets and your crops and your house and your cars. Do you know who's going to get all those things you stored up for yourself? Someone else is going to get them. Not because you're generous, but because you're dead. This is how it will be with whoever, you, me, us, stores up for themselves. I would add the words only or first because Jesus is not condemning saving. Who stores up for themselves, but is not, and here's the phrase this entire series has been based on straight from the mouth of Jesus, but is not rich toward God. And in that moment, what do you think this man experienced? Regret. Deep regret. Greed leads to regret because greed prevents us from being rich toward God. And God has only promised to do immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward Him. So Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul's going, hey, Timothy, command followers of Christ, people who have put their faith in Jesus by asking them to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life, followers of Christ who have more than they need to be rich toward God by admitting they're rich, by transferring their trust from their riches to the one who richly provides, because as our trust in God goes, so goes the relationship with Him. By generously giving God their first and their best, because that's how we prioritize Him as first in our lives, and by stewarding everything they have in light of eternity, because that's one of the primary ways we take hold of the immeasurably more life that is truly life that God wants for us in this life and in the life to come. Listen, God
is the giver of it all, the creator of it all, the source of it all, the provider of it all, and the owner of it all. Everything we have is ultimately His. We are simply stewards of it. And how we steward everything He's entrusted to us impacts the life that we experience in this one and in the one to come. That's why generously giving to who and what God cares about first, generously giving God your first and your best, is one financial decision you will never regret. Here's a phrase I hope you never forget. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter because there's more to this life than this life. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter because at some point, this life will end, and none of us knows when, and an eternal one will begin, and later's longer. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter because prioritizing ourselves as first, that's greed, and greed leads to regret. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter because our purpose as followers of Christ is to glorify Him, is to usher in God's kingdom, is to advance Jesus' mission, is to make an eternal impact by reaching people for Jesus and helping transform people and everything God's created them to be by helping people follow Jesus. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it doesn't matter because God's transforming work is unfinished in you and me and us as a church and through us as a church. So for every person who says you're a follower of Christ, listen, I think this is an important question. Let me ask you this question. Is stewardship or greed driving your financial decisions? Since one of them most likely is, it's worth honestly assessing which one. Because none of us want to experience regret, and all of us want to take hold of a measurably more life that is truly life. God has promised to do immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward Him. He's promised nothing when we aren't. If it doesn't matter for eternity, it does not matter. Stewarding everything we have in light of eternity by generously giving God our first and our best, it matters. It's worth it. And most importantly, He's worthy of it. Take a look.
I'm involved in Relevant Kids, serving with the fifth graders. That was the first thing I got involved in. A couple months after I started, just really felt drawn to that just as a place to make an impact. So I also lead a T-Life group. I've led a couple since I've been here, but right now I'm leading with Jason, Meg, and Gregory, just a co-ed group, cool, diverse group of different opinions and different stages of life. And I also serve with the New Faith and Baptism team, which I originally wanted to do just because I wanted to really just be reminded and kind of be encouraged of that first feeling of when you first have your life transformed by God and receive the Holy Spirit and the excitement that you have from that. And yeah, when we were first going through the launch of Unfinished and talking about what it was about as a church, and when we were being asked to consider making a commitment to Unfinished, I just really felt like God was wanting to kind of stretch me a little bit. And by that I mean, over the last several years, I feel like my passion for following Jesus, my desire for taking next steps and studying His Word and all those things was kind of waning a little bit. And so I felt, as I was examining, you know, what God maybe be calling me to do with regards to Unfinished, I felt like when He talks about that you can't serve two masters, you can't serve both God and money because you'll love one and hate the other, I felt like maybe that was what was happening to me, and I needed to really take a huge leap of faith and make a big sacrifice. I mean, I was giving before monthly and felt like I was being generous, but the more I thought about it, I felt like there was more that I could do, more that I should do for those reasons. And so I felt like God gave me a number, and I really committed to that, and have kind of stayed the course since then. And back in March, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and as far as the financial aspect of staying committed to that, it was it was fine, but it really kind of began to test my trust in him and my love for him, and so that it was difficult there for a few months, especially when my mom was going through some really intense treatments, and I really was trying to balance working on top of taking care of her. But we just saw him do so many things to take care of me and my family over this last year, that because of what's happened over the last year in my personal life and the difficulties I've seen there with my mom, with our family, like, I feel like in a lot of ways he wants me to, well, rather I want to kind of increase my giving as a sign of gratitude towards him of what he's done in my life over the last year. And then also just as a symbol of like, God, I trust you, and I want to grow my trust in you, continue to grow my trust in you. And so I want to kind of continue to release that control that I have on my money. I think there's more that he wants to do, and I think there's more ways that I can sacrifice to give to his kingdom and to give to Unfinished and what we believe as a church that he wants to do through that. And so I think he's asking me to go even further because I think there's more that he wants to do in my life. I'm really excited about the future of Relevant with regards to what I feel like God wants us to do through Unfinished. I'm really excited about the fact that with the added space, with the expanded space, we'll naturally have people that maybe have never engaged in a church before come check out, you know, the Relevant Center, maybe engage in a Sunday gathering or bring their kids to Relevant Kids. And I just think through that, we're just going to see even more life transformation happen, just strictly because we'll be able to have more people here to hear the gospel. And then also, like, having those dedicated spaces for kids with special needs will allow them to hear the gospel in a way that it makes sense to them, that they can engage with. I just think it's going to open up so many doors for God to just continue to transform our community. And I want to be a part of that. I want to have a stake in that. And I also want him to grow my love for him and grow my desire for him and be more willing to separate with my money and trust that what he's doing within Relevant, what he's doing through Unfinished, what he's doing in our community with our church's generosity is worth it. His kingdom's worth investing in it. And he's really just grown my trust in him and kind of continuing to work on me and ask me to continue to make those sacrifices because he's worth it. He's worth investing in his kingdom and staying committed.
In Ephesians 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Not to him, Holy God, Creator God, Almighty God, Father God, to him who is able and who wants to, I might add, to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in our church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Hey, go ahead and grab that commitment card. Maybe you brought a completed one with you or using one on your chair. And by the way, if you're joining us online, you can access this card on the website. Just grab this card, just place it in your hand real quick. What we're doing today, it matters. The numbers that we're writing on these cards, it matters. It matters for you. God's transforming work is unfinished in you. He wants to transform you into everything he's created you to be in immeasurably more ways than you can ask or imagine. God does immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward him. The numbers on these cards also matter for us as a church. God's transforming work is unfinished in us. And he wants to carry on to completion his unfinished transforming work in you, or in us and through us in immeasurably more ways than we can ask or imagine. God does immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward him. As you prepare to put a number on this card, I encourage you to go before God and ask him one final question. God, is my generosity positioning me for you to do immeasurably more transformation? God, is this generosity commitment positioning me for you to carry on to completion the unfinished transforming work that you want to do in me and in our church in immeasurably more ways than we can ask or imagine? God, does the number written on this card represent my first and my best? Listen, our two-year unfinished generosity goal of $20.3 million, it's a God-sized goal. And I know that some people don't think it's possible. Why not? I mean, with our God, all things are possible. And even though I believe it's possible, it's not what God is primarily after through unfinished. What God is primarily after is all of us being rich toward Him by following Jesus and just doing whatever He's leading us to do. If we all do, God will be glorified. God will pour out His transforming power in us and through us. God will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We will experience God's power and presence like never before. What we're doing today matters. It matters for you. It matters for the rest of our church. It matters for the future of Relevant. It matters for the mission that Jesus has called us on. It matters for God's kingdom and God's glory. It matters for the unfinished transforming work that God wants to carry on to completion in you, in our church, and through our church. On this card, some of you are going to be making an unfinished generosity commitment for the first time. I am so excited for you and the transforming work that God is going to do in you and through you because of that. Just one thing, remember that your unfinished generosity commitment, if you're making one for the very first time, will be your total giving over the next year. Regular giving, expanded giving, end of the year giving, everything. Through the end of next December, and will go toward everything we're trying to do as a church through Unfinished, which once again, it's all outlined in this book. Others of you on this card are gonna be reaffirming the two-year unfinished generosity commitment you felt God leading you to make 1 year ago. Today, you're declaring your trust in God to finish strong for the final year of Unfinished, and I'm so proud of you for that, because today you're choosing to continue to be rich toward God. And then there's some of us who, like Zane, made a two-year unfinished generosity commitment a year ago, and who are feeling God prompting and stirring us and leading us, and giving this sense that I ought to take another step of faith and increase my original unfinished commitment. Christy and my unfinished commitment last fall was a big, scary step of faith for us. And it has not been easy. It's required a lot of sacrifice. And yet, we've been feeling like God's just leading us to increase our commitment. And I have been wrestling with that. And as I've been wrestling through it, the phrase that just keeps coming to my mind is, are you going to trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Maybe that's where you're at today. Like, maybe you're feeling led to increase your original unfinished commitment. Well, today, on this card, you get the opportunity, like Zane, like Christy and I, to declare, God, I trust you. Now, I know there's some of you who have no intention of making a unfinished generosity commitment, and that's okay. You don't need to feel any pressure to, and there is no judgment if you don't. Listen, regardless if you've been generous or not in the past, regardless of the amount written on this card, my prayer for all of us is, as we look at the numbers on our card, we know we're following Jesus by doing what God would have us do. We know that through this commitment, we're declaring, God, I trust you. We know that we're being rich toward God. We know that we're generously giving God our first and our best. We know we're stewarding everything we have in light of eternity. We know that this commitment is positioning us for God to do immeasurably more transformation. As Michelle plays, I just want to give you some space, just a few moments, to pray, to think, to write. If you're married and your spouse is here, feel free to talk and pray quietly with your spouse during this time. Stay seated. And just in a few moments, I'll come back up and get some final instructions. we're doing today matters. It matters because God does immeasurably more when we're immeasurably more rich toward Him. After I pray, the band is going to begin playing one final worship set. And as they do, when you're ready, come forward, drop that commitment card in one of these four buckets. There's a bucket there, a bucket here, a bucket there, and a bucket right over there. And as you drop that commitment card in there, let this be a time where you truly declare, God, I trust you. If you're joining us online, once again, you can make your commitment on our website as well. Right after the song is over and we've got an opportunity to do this, I've got one more final thing before we leave today. Let's stand together. Dear Lord, right now what we're doing, I pray that each of us are truly just following you, Jesus, whatever you are leading us to do. This is a dedication of our trust to you. This is a dedication that you are our priority. This is a dedication that you are first in our lives. We're going to bring you our first and our best. And so as we do that, Lord, I pray that this is a time to declare you are the center of it all. You are the center of it all. You are the center of my life. I'm following you wholeheartedly as my Lord, as my leader. Lord, this is ultimately for your glory and your kingdom. So as we come forward now and we drop these cards in, I pray the posture of our heart is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We commit to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Story that it be of you only. everything for the honor of your name. In my whole life, for your glory, my whole world, for you only, everything for the honor of your name. And if my days tell the story, let it be of you only, everything for the honor of your name. In my whole life, for your glory, my whole world is for you only, everything for the honor of your name. And if my days tell the story, let it be for of you only, everything for the honor of your name. Oh, how I love you with my whole life. Oh, how I love you, Jesus, I love you. Oh, how I love you with all I have. Oh, how I love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. In my whole life, for your glory, my whole world, it's for you only, everything for the honor of your name. And if my days tell a story, let it be part of you only, everything for the honor of your name. In my whole life, for your glory, my whole world, everything for the honor of your name. And if my days tell a story, let it be of you only, everything for the honor of your name. For you are the center of it all. My heart belongs to you, my Savior, all in all. You're the one I hold on to for the beauty of your name. My soul will live to say, Jesus, I love you. My soul will choose to say, Jesus, I love you. My soul will live to say, Jesus, I love you.
Lord, I pray that that's just what we just did today, that we just declare we love you and you're the center of it all and whatever you're leading us to do. So Lord, just be glorified through that. In Jesus' name, amen.